सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
Today we'll see the summary of chapter 7, the yoga of knowledge and wisdom, jnana vijnana yoga. From chapter 7, the emphasis is on bhakti. From chapter 1 to 6, the emphasis was on karma. From 7 to 12, the emphasis is on bhakti. And again 13 to 18 is jnana. So the entire Gita talks about karma, bhakti, jnanam as a means to exhaust the vasanas and attain moksha, liberation. In the first six chapters where the emphasis is on karma, he talks about jiva prayatnam, the individual effort. Everything doesn't come only because of individual effort, and nothing comes without individual effort. This is what we need to understand. Individual effort is also important. But in spite of our efforts, there are so many factors which are not under our control. They also have a role to play in getting the results, either favorable or not favorable. So this an individual should understand, strive, continue putting in the effort. The fact that the individual puts in effort
and
makes him...
Excuse me, I have a feeling the air conditioning is on.
No, it
doesn't. No, I have a lot of cold air. Can you just check with the service?
I will.
ठीक
है, बंद कर रहा हूँ। इसे जस्ट नहीं ऑन, ठीक है, बंद कर रहा हूँ। ठीक, I told you it's on. I'm getting the blast here. So the individual effort, when the individual continues to do it, it helps him to receive the grace, provided he puts in the effort with the right attitude. So here in this chapter 7 to 12, the emphasis is on Ishvara Swarupa and Ishvara Anugraha, the grace of the Lord. See, grace is universal. It is not preferential. It is not available only to a far view. It's for everybody. But like when it rains, rain is for everybody. It falls on the mountain as well. But the water rolls down the mountain, gets collected only in the valley. So when you put in the effort with the right attitude, you dig yourself deep. Just because you were digging yourself deep, the rain was not coming. But when the rain comes, it collects in you. Similarly, you put in the effort, and the grace will be bestowed upon you. That will help you to march ahead in life. So here, Lord offers to Arjuna, saying, I will declare, O Partha, with the mind attached to me, practicing yoga, taking refuge in me, how you shall without doubt know me for me, that you do here. In other words, he is saying, I will speak to you, how you can without doubt know me fully when your mind is attached to me. Today our mind is attached to the world. Therefore, Vedanta is only for people whose mind is relatively free from the world. Whose mind is relatively free from the world. There is no hari first deal with the first three goals, then come to the last goal. The first three goals are what? Artha, Kama, Dharma. Artha means wealth. Kama, entertainment, pleasure.
Artha means Kama,
wealth.
Wealth.
And then Kama, pleasure. The Maslow's theory of hierarchy also talks about it now. First is got to make sure survival is taken care of. When survival is taken care of, then you will think about pleasure and everything. Right? And after that, you cross that. Then dharma, duties and responsibilities. And you cross that, then comes these kind of fundamental questions. Only to those this should be given, this knowledge. Otherwise, out of curiosity they may hear, but it's not going in. So if you see, there is a slight shift in Arjuna also, but not that he is fully changed, but there is a shift in his questioning and everything. So here he says, with your mind attached to me, the highest, meaning relatively free from the world, practicing yoga, using your body, mind, intellect, thinking, taking refuge in me, with the attitude of thy will be done when you function, not my will be done. Sharanagati, how you shall without doubt know me fully, that you do here, I will give you both knowledge and wisdom, he says. Only knowledge can be given, wisdom cannot be given. But the knowledge is going to be given by Lord Krishna here in such a way that little bit effort, if you put in, you would be able to convert that into wisdom. That perception. All the words that Krishna will use will make you look within. That is the art the master has perfected. When you listen to the words, it can take your thoughts towards the world so that you run after it to indulge, or it can make you turn within. So Krishna is going to use those yogic methods by which you will look within. Then he says, many people are there, out of which very few strive for this siddhi. Out of those who strive, very few attain this. The natural tendency of the mind is to what?
Go
up. Forgive me. Very few try to turn the mind within. Out of the few, very few master will be able to go beyond the mind. Many cannot. So he says, you need to prepare yourself for that kind of a shraddha, to be able to be consistent. It's not easy. The results in the outward world is fast. The result in the inward takes time. The results that you get in the outward world comes fast, but it is transitory. The result in the inward journey comes with time, but permanent, not transitory. Are you with me? So he starts, he says, I have the lower nature and higher nature. My lower nature, when Lord Krishna says my, he is talking from the point of view of the total Brahman. As Ishvara, he is talking here, as the Lord, not as Mr. Krishna. Way can talk as way, or identifying with the ocean, it can talk as
ocean.
In the organization, the labor leader can go and talk to the management as the leader of the group. Do you think? As a labor leader, when he goes and talks, he is identified with the entire group of people who work there, employees. If he goes and talks individually as Mr. So-and-so, then he is talking as a small wave. Are you with me? So you have a choice to either identify with just yourself or with the total. Because Krishna is talking, identifying with the total, not with the individual. The moment you identify with the total, you have so much strength. When you identify with just yourself, you lack that strength. You become weak. So identifying with the total is a, there are two natures to me. One is called lower prakriti, other is called higher prakriti. The lower prakriti is composed of read verse number 4. The lower prakriti is composed of
earth, water, fire.
Bhumi, earth. Bhumi, rapa, anala, kam, vayu, mano, buddhi, ahankar. The eightfold aspect that Lord Krishna talks about in verse 4, which is what? The five sukshma elements. The five elements in the subtle form.
So it's
the pure nascent form. Bhumi, earth, water, fire, air, space, and then manas, buddhi and ahankar. The mind, intellect and ego. All these eight put together is my lower prakriti. And the higher prakriti called as life element, the spirit. These two coming together is this world.
The higher and the
what? Self, the Atma, the spirit. The self, the spirit and matter coming together is this whole world. There is nothing higher than me. Everything is strung on me. Like gems, the rows of gems strung on a thread. You are carried away by the gems. You lose sight of the string that is holding the gems. You are all carried away by the expressions and perceptions and what is manifest to your senses and mind and intellect. You lose the identification, therefore, with the string. You are not grounded, therefore. When you are lost in the manifestation, manifestation is not permanent. So as long as it is there, you are happy. In fact, as long as it is there also, you are not happy. Why? Because you are worried about losing that. And when you actually lose also, it's pain. When you have it also, thinking that you are going to lose it, it's pain. Therefore, Buddha said, life is full of pain, full of misery. Your life will be full of misery if you are identifying with the manifestation. But if you learn to play with the manifestation, identifying with the string, then the very same life will no more be what?
Miserable.
Miserable. That is why for a jnani there is no grief. That is how Gita started, you remember. How did Gita start?
Arjuna's question.
Lord Krishna, verse number 11 of chapter 2.
Dilemma.
Arjuna surrenders, all that happens. After that, from 11th verse of chapter 2, actual Gita starts. So when actual Gita starts, what does he say? Asocham anvashochatvam prajnyavadamsha bhashase gatasu agatasu na anusochanti panditaha. The wise do not grieve for those who have come and those who have gone. Arjuna, you seem to speak words of wisdom. Yet, you are grieving. But the wise do not grieve. Why they do not grieve? They are not identified with the gems. They are identified with the string. That's all. So why do we need to study the scripture? When we study this scripture, it makes us identify with the string. Just the theoretical knowledge of this scripture is of no use. You can be Chaturvedi. I'm not just talking about the name. Chaturvedi means what? One who knows all the four Vedas. Trivedi means one who knows three Vedas. Knowing the four Vedas makes no meaning to your life unless and until you are identified with the string. Are you with me? You are more burdened. Chaturvedi will be highly agitated if he is not grounded. Are you with me? But if he made use of those four Vedas, and as a result of which he is identified with the string, Sutre Manigana Iva, says the verse number 7 of this chapter, like the string on which the rows of gems are strung, the whole universe is strung on me. The entire manifestation, the impermanent aspect, is strung on the permanent aspect. So therefore you are not supposed to run away from the impermanent. In and through the impermanent you should be able to see the permanent. That is why when you ask the Muni, where is the truth? They say, look between two thoughts. Look between two words. Look between two changing things. When you heat the water, it becomes gas. But there is in between time where it is neither water nor gas. But we miss that. Water becomes gas. Gas becomes solid. Solid becomes water. Goes on. But we are all caught in this transitory phases. We seldom see the Adhishtanam. We seldom see the what? Adhishtanam means what? Foundation on which all this is happening. The entire movie is projected on the screen. Comedy, tragedy, all sorts of movies. We get carried away by the projection, seldom do we see the screen. And that Adhishtanam is the foundation. Everything is strong on me. I have manifested myself in this universe, is what he is trying to say. If you want to gain wisdom, you ought not to run away from the world. You got to more intensely get into the world. Are you with me? When you carefully look at it, you will see the truth. Today you are superficially looking at it. Not carefully looking at it. So then, from verse number 8 till 11, we talked about various pointers. Not even pointers, he said, and the subtlety in water. Meaning, when you see the water, you see the different superficial aspects. But you go to the inside, you will see me. So this is what he is trying to say. Various things, he says, I am radiance in sun and moon. He is just making use of things and objects and beings of this universe, concepts of this universe. In and through that, he is trying to turn you inward. He will use anything. That's the way yogi will use. Yogi will use anything. But using that, you will try to shift your focus within. You are seeing the sun and the moon. So yes, don't just see the surface, the radiance. So in other words, if you question, you will go deep. Then he says, I am the strength which is devoid of desire. What is real strength? The moment you have dependence, your strength is gone. Real strength is independence. So you have to strive to achieve that independence. True education will lead you to achieve that independence.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sir, I am strength.
Devoid of desire. Verse number 11. He goes on giving various pointers here. I am the fragrance, sweet fragrance in earth, the brilliance in fire, I am the light in all beings, the austerity in ascetics and all that. Then in 11 he says, I am the strength of the strong, devoid of desire and attachment. One attachment is enough. The strength of a chain is its weakest link. Is its weakest link. You can have an iron chain. All links are made of solid iron. Only one link is plastic. Would you be ready to use that iron chain, so-called iron chain, to tow something? Because the strength of the chain is that plastic link. Are you with me? You may have tremendous strength, one weakness, that is enough. All weak people will try to play on that weakness. If you are absolutely detached, they cannot play on anything. There is no attachment. So you are not really strong as long as you have attachment. So if you want to know the truth, you got to become independent. Independent of what? Your own likes and dislikes. So the person who becomes independent, he can only see the truth. As long as you continue to be attached, you can never see the truth. In other words, in everything I am the essence. We miss the essence and we are all caught in the surface. The sattva, rajas, tamas are in me, I am not in them. Everything is in me, I am not in them. He says in verse 12. The entire gunas, all these gunas, three gunas are in me, I am not in them. What he is trying to say is, big circle and small circle. I talked about this. Small circle is in big circle. Big circle is not in the small circle. In some way you can say, some portion of the big circle is in the small circle. But he doesn't wish to say that. Why? Because the moment he says that, you say anyway God is in this, therefore I am doing this, and you will still continue to be involved in the world. As long as you are involved in the world, you will never be able to see the truth. So what he is trying to say is, the small circle should align itself in line with the big circle. If you are lost in the small circle, you don't see the big circle. Are you with me? So he says, whatever nature that are, sattvika, rajasika and tamasika, These know as for me alone. I am not in them, but they are in me. In other words, those who are lost in sattva, rajas and tamas, they don't see the self. But those who see the self, they understand that this entire universe is in the self. This only difference is nama rupa. All this manifestation is in Paramatma. Paramatma is not in it. See, in other words, what he is trying to say is, when you see the silver, you understand this Ganesha made with silver is essentially silver. You will understand the Ganesha also as silver. The Ganesha is in silver. But the moment you see the Ganesha, your thoughts are lost in Ganesha. You don't see the silver. Isn't it? A thief enters the jewelry shop. He doesn't see the bangle, necklace, earrings, nose ring. Simply opens his gunny bag, puts the whole lot of thing inside his gunny bag because he sees only gold. So he says, they are in me. All these names and forms, all these varieties are in me. All these varieties are in me. But those who are in varieties, they don't see me. When you are lost in the gunas, you don't see that truth, including sattvic. Those who are lost in rajasic and tamasic alone, he doesn't say. He says even sattvic people. If you are lost in goodness also, you are finished. Being good is conducive to being following dharma, is conducive to reach that ultimate dharma. But if you are lost in that dharma, that very same dharma becomes your obstacle. Swami Ramakrishna says, your own duties threaten you like a Frankenstein. You made the Frankenstein to destroy the villain. And now the Frankenstein is trying to destroy you. Like in that movie. What is that movie? I forgot the name. Duties and responsibilities are now binding you. You go to the hospital to get healthy, not to stay there permanently. Very beautiful, comfortable room, better than my house. So you want to stay there permanently? Huh? You go to Saukya to
become healthy.
Make sure your life is Saukya. Not to stay there permanently, no? Isn't it? So, the gunas, whole world is lost in the gunas. So that's why he said, I am not in them. They are in me. Each one is following his own gunas. Tamasic fellow is lost in tamasic world. Rajasic fellow is lost in his own world. Same thing is with sattvic. Nobody has time to see the truth. In his own area, everybody is lost. So therefore it says, they are in me, I am not in them. When we go to the 9th chapter, we say, they are also not in me. First he is saying this, in the 9th chapter he will say that. That time I will explain what he is trying to say there. He slowly explains you. First you have to always accept. Then only you have to explain to them. So this is what he is trying to say. Therefore he is trying to tell us the method of gaining that wisdom. What is that? Don't get lost in sattva, rajas, tamas. Even while you are expressing the gunas, be alert and aware. Being sattvic is also for you to go beyond sattva, not to stay put there permanently. You got to be principle centered and not principle bound. You go to school to become unconditioned, not to get conditioned in a particular way. Today education has come to mean conditioning. You know, you bring everybody the same way. The factories that you see, the products, many things are manufactured. Finally it comes in same shape and size. Like that, all children are sent to school so that they all come the same.
With the name tag.
Is this called education? It's more of conditioning. Right? Each one loses their flavor. Would that be called as education? And then you are produced. Like sometimes when you see gardening also, when you go to different gardens and see, some are very natural, some are very artificial. So what is being produced nowadays? What man has made of man in the name of education is that he is conditioned himself. But the true education is to make a person unconditioned. We could go to different schools, but finally when we all come out, we should be unconditioned. But that's not what is happening. So each one is compartmentalized. So he says the deluded people, deluded by what? By their own nature, the respective gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. Deluded by your own culture. I'm a Hindu, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim. Deluded by your own traditions. Each one is deluded. And whenever you hear this word deluded means, I told you, Kalidasa should come to your mind. What was he trying to do?
Cut his own branches.
He was sitting on a branch of a tree and he was trying to cut that very same branch on which he was sitting. This is delusion. When you are colored by your gunas, you function, you think you are doing something for your benefit, but you are actually destroying yourself. Why? You will color yourself more and more so that you remain far away from the truth. Are you truly free, or have you hypnotized yourself that you are free?